are very thin people. And before we talk about the particulars in the halachas, we have to understand the yisoid, where the halachas are coming from. Tor Shulchan Aruch goes through all, siman by siman, all the varied aspects of what a person has to do to be mispalel. Simuk Tzadik Ches, he talks about machshavta. What's the frame of mind that a person has to have when he enters tefillah? Ketzad, the sanya, hamispalel tzorach sheyechav in libo. When a person is mispalel, he has to have his heart focused. Shenema, tochen libam, takshiv oznecha. So we start first with a simple pshat in what is tzorach sheyechav in libo, perish, hamilei shemoytzi b'sfosa. At the simplest level, we have to understand the words that we're saying. We're speaking to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So if I take a Chinese text and I recite it, that I have not the foggiest idea what I'm saying, so what's its point? What's its purpose? But that's not enough. That's only the very first step in Kavanah. Kavanah, Perish Hamilus, that's the very first step. But V'yachshav Ki'ilu Shechino Kinegdo. We have to have an awareness of the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We stand in His presence. Shenema, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somet, we find in the 16th chapter in Tilim. And we have to understand Tefillah. The Shulchan Aruch begins in Siman Aleph with Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somet. I should be ever be cognizant of the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom. But Tefillah is a different halacha. It's of a totally, if the king invites someone into the palace and grants them an audience, that places a totally different responsibility upon the person. We're always in the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom. There's no place to hide. The Rabbeinu Shalom's presence is ever pervasive. But, so we're living in a world which is permeated by the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's one thing. Tefillah, the Rabbeinu Shalom opens the doors of the palace and he invites us to come in. Now, if we walk into the Rabbeinu Shalom's palace and we stand in front of the Melech to petition him, now what's the responsibility? If I do something and I know that the king is aware of it and it's not something I ought to be doing, that's bad enough. But at least I didn't do it in the confines of the palace. I didn't do it in the throne room of the king. But if the king invited me into the palace and he brings me to stand before the throne, and then I act inappropriately, that's something of a totally different order. So the Rabbeinu Shalom's tefillah is oimed lifnei hamelech. The Rabbeinu Shalom has invited us in. It's a fantastic notion that we as human beings have the opportunity to speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And not only at fixed times, we have three chiyuvim and tefillah, shachris, mincha, and marav each day. But if I'm possessed with the feeling of the desire to speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom, I can make a tefillah as nedavah. I can make an additional tefillah, at least not on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but all the rest of the days of the week. So any time that I want an audience, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, just swipe your card and enter. I'm here. It's a phenomenal thing. That's why tefillah needs hachana. We just can't fall in to the Rabbeinu Shalom's presence. We have to enter it with an awareness of where we're going and what we're doing. Rav Volba, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, At one time in his life, he did not daven mincha in the yeshiva. And the Rosh Yeshiva wanted him very, very much to daven mincha. And he was adamant in his refusal. So finally they persisted in beleaguering him long enough that he finally told them, I'll tell you what my problem is. He said, in the winter time, I have no problem davening in yeshiva. Why? Because the second Seder ends after Shkia. So when do we daven mincha? We daven mincha before the second Seder. So I daven shachar at 6, 7 in the morning. I daven mincha at 1 in the afternoon. That's fine. In the summertime, the Shkia is 7:30, 8 o'clock. So we daven mincha and yeshiva after the second Seder. So that means I have to wait 12, 13 hours from the morning until I have a chance to speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom again. It's impossible. You can't do such a thing. The realization of the opportunity to stand before the Rabbeinu Shalom and Tefillah. So we need the sense of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somut. V'yoyer HaKavona. And we should arouse our focus. And here's where we get to the real kavanas. V'yoser kol ha-machshavos ha-tordos oisim. And to remove our mind from anything that might distract us. And that's not a simple task. And particularly in today's age. We live in the digital age, in the age of the BlackBerry. It means that whatever we're doing, 24/7, we are already primed to be interrupted. From the mundane to the most important thing, but we're primed to be interrupted. And here we have to come before the Rabbeinu Shalom and not only close the BlackBerry, but close the mindset that's focused on the next message on the BlackBerry. Forget everything in the world. V'yosir kol ha-machshavos ha-tordos oso. I shouldn't think about that which I was doing before, that which I'm going to be doing after Shmona Esrei. I've entered a space which exists outside the time and place of this world. I'm in a bubble. Achetishor machshavtoi v'kavanoso zaka b'tviloso. Until such time that his thoughts are absolutely pure and nothing else is in his mind except the fact that he's standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Nothing else. We understand that the Gemara says in Brochas, Chassidim Rishonim took an hour to prepare for tefillah, an hour to daven, and I think that just means the Shmona Esrei itself. It doesn't mean all everything else that they had to say, the Pesuk of the Zumra. And an hour after the Shmona Esrei, until they were able to come back to this world. An hour of focus just to remove the world from our minds. They were focused on the Rabbeinu Shalom. And after they reach such a state of mind, then they first pour out their hearts before the Rabbeinu Shalom. From that state, I'm in conversation with the Rabbeinu Shalom. It is so exhilarating and so uplifting and so spiritual that I can't just finish my Esrei and run off back to where I was before. I'm in a different place. It took them a whole hour until they gently came back to this earth. See the Marushain. V'yachshay, let us consider, ki ilu hoye medaber lifnei melech bosa v'doin, dom, if I was speaking in the presence of a mortal king. Shayim kan u'mocha b'kilu mocha b'keva. A king, as David HaMelech wrote in Tillim, Teitzei Rucho Yoshev La'Nosa. How long is he going to be king anyhow? It's not forever. One day they're going to carry him out, and they'll bury him in Arlington too. What's the difference? And yet, how much care do I exercise in speaking before such a person? I carefully arrange my thoughts. And I'm very, very focused and attentive. That I should not stumble as I speak to a mortal king. A person goes before a major political office holder, and he needs a favor for himself, for his family, for his community. How much effort goes into preparing for that meeting? And to carefully weigh exactly how to express the ideas. And how much focus is there at the time that I'm speaking to be absolutely certain that every word is proper? Because maybe if I say one inappropriate word, he'll get angry at me. He will not deliver that which I need. So tremendous care goes into a meeting with another human being because he has some measure of power. If I stand in the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom, before the Rabbeinu Shalom is Lo'olam Va'ad. He's the one thing in this world that endures. It's only the Rabbeinu Shalom. So now I'm speaking to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So this is not dealing with man's vanity, a vainglorious king. I'm dealing with the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. He's the Kol Yochol. He is the force, the life force of the entire world. So how much care do I have to exercise in dealing with him? And then there's something else. It's not enough. When I deal with a mortal king, I can feel disdain for him in my heart. And yet, I can speak in a very glib fashion to win favor, to curry favor in his eyes. Before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it's not enough to be careful about the expressions that I have, but the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is shetzorach lechaven af machshavtei. The thoughts have to parallel the deeper. There can be no gap between those two. But he lefonov hamachshava kadima. Before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, every thought is just as much expressed as that which I utter from the tongue itself. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam examines not only our outer expressions, but our inner selves as well. So that also stands bare before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So how can I speak to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam without being focused upon what I'm saying? How can I have my mind wander to someplace else? That in effect, if I do that, imagine that I'm speaking to a mortal king, to the president. And my mind is one place, and my words are addressing him. But every other word, I throw in a word of what's in my mind, which is totally somewhere else than where he is. How will I be received? As Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once put it, he said there was a shul in Warsaw, and it had even non-observant Jews on the board. One of them was a wealthy businessman, and some chazan came, you know, with all the repetitions that chazanim do. So he heard this chazan. He said, "I will never allow him to be hired in our synagogue." He says, "Do you think I would hire a person that came in and spoke to me in the fashion that he spoke to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? You know, in incoherent sentences?" He says, "I wouldn't hire him in my business." So he says, "What business do we have hiring him in the synagogue, in the Beis HaKnesses? Speaking before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Machshava, each thought, is Lefon of Kediba. It's as expressed as the words that we articulate from our mouths. So, how careful do we have to be to put ourselves in a state of mind that we're focused on the Rabbeinu Shalom and not everything else? And that's not an easy task. And I believe in today's world it's become even more difficult. To focus the mind is never an easy task for human beings. And the intensity of focus, I believe, has become more superficial today. Right? We live in an age of multitasking, which basically means to be focused on nothing. If that works in the business world, I'll leave the captains of industry to decide. That's their ASIC. You know, I find if I want to do something well, I have to be fully focused on it. If I'm not fully focused on it, it just doesn't come out the right way. But that's the age that we live in. And therefore, people's ability to fully focus on anything has lessened significantly. The discipline, the work discipline of this world, they don't have. When a person was used to working, being highly focused, his mind was totally centered on one thing, and on one thing only. When he came before the Rabbeinu Shalom in Tefillah, he was used to focusing his mind. To us, in the society in which we live in, it becomes increasingly foreign to have such focus. And yet, the Torah tells us this is one of the basic necessities of Tefillah. So, Tzorach lechaven ach machshavto, ki lefon ava machshavo kedivo, ki kol ha machshavo es uchayka. The Rebbeinu Shalom examines our thoughts as well as our expressions. V'chein hoyu oisim chasidim v'anshi ma'isa. And those that were truly pious, and those that were meticulous in their observances, they used to go off on their own somewheres to shut out the world, to gain that focus. And their intent, their focus, their involvement in the tefillah was achahoyimagim lis pashtus hagashmius, as if they were non-physical beings. They left the physical world. We talk about altered states of consciousness. A consciousness which transcends the physical world around us. I'm in a shama, standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom, and aware only of the Rabbeinu Shalom, and with no awareness at all of anything else that's going on around me. It all doesn't exist. Rav Yehuda Pian, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Kelim of Balei Musa. In Kelim, they placed a tremendous emphasis on being focused, on not allowing distractions. A noise outside was no reason to turn around and look. If you're doing something, you keep on doing what you're doing. They placed a tremendous amount of emphasis on discipline. Rav Sholem Shvadron was a Talmud of his, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he, one of Elie Lapian, once asked him what he owed for a glass of tea. A few minutes went by, and Rav Elie asked him, did you have a chance to bring the tea yet? So he said, I brought it. He says, what did you bring it? says, I got up and I went to bring it and I came back. He says, I was sitting right in front of Rabbi Elia Lapian. And he was not aware of the fact that I got up and brought the glass of tea and put it down on the table. So I asked him, he said, if he could teach me how to achieve such intensity of focus. And Rabbi Elia Lapian told him, you're too late in life already, you're much too old for it. You'll never achieve it anymore. This is something, if you didn't learn it in your youth, it's not going to happen anymore. But imagine such an intensity of focus that the world around him faded out. This is how the Chassidim Rishonim, how they approach Tevila. This Pashtus HaGashmius, the physical self, was transcended. They were unaware of their physical existence. Ul his gabros ruach hasichlus, and man's intellect and mind is in such complete control. And listen to this. They reached a state of consciousness which was similar to one of them. Let's look away from Moshe Rabbeinu for a moment. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was such that he could have the intensity of the experience of Shechina, of the Rabbeinu Shem speaking to him, in a fully conscious state. Lechein avdi Moshe. But for every other Navi, could not experience Shechina in a conscious state. They were unaware. V'chaloyim adavavo. It was a prophetic, we might say, trance. That they entered a state of awareness of the Rabbeinu Shalom and an unawareness of the physical selves. And only in that sense were they able to achieve Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu was in such a state of sanctity. He was a malach totally in this world. He still inhabited a physical levush, but he was a total malach. And as such, at that level, there was no, he could integrate the Dvar Hashem in a conscious state. The Novi was still a boss of Adam. As great as he was, but he was still a boss of Adam. Every Novi other than Moshe. And being a boss of Adam cannot integrate Shechina at that level. So he had to transcend his physical self. And only in that altered state could he perceive the Rabbeinu Shalom and receive the Nevuah. So when we talk about Machshavtai, so the Torah is telling us, meaning that this was the ultimate level of Achana for Tevila. Shas called them Chassidim Rishonim. So I often state how significant the title is dependent upon who bestows the title. If the Chofetz Chaim calls someone a tzaddik, it's a different measure than if we call him a tzaddik. If the Brisker Rav calls someone a lamdan, that's a different sense of what a lamdan is than when we call someone a lamdan. And the Tanoim describe Chassidim HaRishonim, meaning two things. That from their standpoint, first of all, they were Chassidim, people that were in the service of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, was to an extreme degree Lefnei Meshuras Hadin. And secondly, they called them Chassidim HaRishonim. Chazal and the use of the phrase Chassidim HaRishonim were very, very careful. They meant to say that the Chassidus that they displayed was way beyond the Hasidus that we understand. We're not at that level. Hasidim or Rishonim were at a different level of Amunah, different level of faith. A different level of trust in the Rabbeinu Shalom, a different level of association with the Rabbeinu Shalom. But what it does tell us, the Torah, is how significant that focus in tefillah is. And if the ultimate level is what Hasidim or Rishonim achieved, that Korov L'mayla Sanavur, Korov L'mayla Sanavur, then it sets a paradigm for us of what we have to strive for. The level of focus that we should strive for, it's obviously not going to be the same as Hasidim or Rishonim. Chazal called them Hasidim or Rishonim, but it lets us know that complacency also has no place. So when we talk about this, is machshavtoi, the machshava that a person has to have for tefillah. And we'll go a little further in the Torah. I will deal with the things which affect a person's ability to have the proper machshavas and tefillah. But before we address the how careful we have to be, how pidin, and not doing anything which disturbs someone else's tefillah, but before we can even approach that, we have to understand what are the prerequisites of tefillah. What does a person have to strive for in tefillah? Once we understand that, the halachos will not be difficult to integrate. So this is the goal, the ultimate goal. Suppose something enters a person's mind beyond the scope of the tefillah. So yishtoik, that he should stop davening, that should disbattle a machshava until the machshava passes, till he can regain his focus. He should not be mispalel in a place where there are things which distract him. Not at a time which interferes with his ability to concentrate. A mokim, the place that one chooses. The dignity of the surroundings of the Beis HaKnesses. I yet remember in my youth, a year that I knew. And by the time I really knew him, he was one who was paddled every day in the Beis HaKnesses. But he told me in my youth I davened, but during the weekdays I would daven at home. I didn't daven in the Beis HaKnesses. He says, until one day it struck me. He says, how could you daven at home? And he wasn't even coming from the standpoint of the schus of the tziva. He says, somebody puts on the radio to listen to the news, and you're in the next room davening. How could you daven? Just the distractions that inevitably take place. How could you daven in such a place? So he said, it made me realize. He said, the only place to daven is in the Beis HaKnesses. And not at a time which will disrupt my kavanah. If I have a pressing matter to take care of, and I'm under the gun to get back to it, so how can I daven? I have a huge burden on my head. I've been working it for hours this morning. I'm going to stop now, 12:30, to daven for 10 minutes. I'm going to go back to it for the next number of hours. How can I daven? Can I conceivably get the focus upon daven and forget about the problem that I'm dealing with? How's it going to happen? The Omer of Chia Bar Ashi, Omer Rav, Kol Shein Daitam V'Yushev V'Saloh V'Yispalo. If a person doesn't have tranquility, he should not even daven. Now we'll see later, the Torah is going to tell us that at our Madrega, we don't follow this dictum. But at the Madrega of the Rishayna, if they couldn't daven with Kavona, it was a time that it was, well, which was too tumultuous, that they couldn't have the peace of mind, the tranquility necessary, they didn't daven. They daven later Tashlum. They said, we're not fit to daven. If Rav Chanina was angered by something, perish b'yoyim shal yekoyes, on a day where someone angered him, lo have a matzle, he wasn't mispalo. I'd roy to be mispalo. I won't have the focus on tefillah that I could have. Rebbe Lezer oimer abom an aderech ayispalo toch gimuyonon. A person that came from a wearying journey, especially they didn't have airplanes in those days. You came by foot, you bumped along on a horse and buggy. Your kishkis were shaken out by the time you got there. You suffered, you didn't have much to eat. It was cold, it was damp. Rabbi Lezer says, one shouldn't daven for 3 days. To become a mensch again before you daven. Rabbi Lezer ben Osher Rabbi Yosi Aglili Oimer Afameitza. A person that's in anguish and tsar, for whatever reason. He lost a person close to him, he lost a lot of money, whatever it is that put a person into a state of tsar. Someone in his family did something which really upset him. It's in tsar. Shouldn't be mispalo in such a state. Rav Popola of Amatzli Bebeisa the Isbay Harsana. Rav Papa did not daven in a place. Harsana is a fish dish. It's some type of fried fish with flour and a sauce and its own fats. So when we were frying this fish, it was a special dish. He wouldn't daven in such a place. Why? Because the aroma would disturb him. I remember one summer I had a chavra. He lives in Los Angeles now. And we learned one summer at the Feres Yerushalayim. So I was about, I think, 14 years old or so at the time. I was 14 years old. 15 years old. I remember when you opened up the windows in the front right side of the Beis Medrash, it was right next to a wine company. The reichus of the wine came up. You could go, you know, it was phenomenal. But Rav Papa wouldn't daven in such a place. I guess it would be close the windows, you know. But the reyach is disruptive. For Kosov Arami Rutenberg, ain't on this harm atta becholze. All of these things that the Tana said, coming from a journey, when we're in anguish, we daven any awaj. Ain't on a mechavnen kol kach betfila. Because we don't have that much intensity of kavanah in the first place. If one would be able to have such intensity of kavanah, and I would lose it, so this is a shell of a tefillah, it's not a tefillah. But lo aleinu, our tefillah doesn't reach that state. If it doesn't reach that state, so we didn't lose all that much. It would be this level of distractions. And what's the attitude that we have? To have to have yispalel derech tachnun, and one should daven in a manner of beseeching the Rabbeinu Shalom. Kirei shamavakesh b'pesach, like a pauper who comes to the door seeking alms. He places himself upon the mercy of the balavayas. That's how we should come before the Rabbeinu Shalom in tefillah. The attitude that we have to have. And the approach that we need to take is that this is not burdensome. It's not a burden that I'm wishing to get rid of. And I have to daven. Baruch Hashem, in 20 minutes I'm finished. I got rid of the problem. Problem solved. But to speak before the Rabbeinu Shalom is an opportunity. And I cherish that opportunity. In Zrizus, the Musas Forum tell us that Zrizus is double-edged. On one hand, to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom, I should act with alacrity. But I have to be careful at the same time. Zrizus, if we're not careful, can stem with the urge to unburden ourselves. I have a mitzvah to do. Let me just rush up. Baruch Hashem, it's over. I'm finished with it. So we have to be careful that it reflects a desire to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom and is not emphasizing within ourselves the need to be unburdened. So this is also part of the Kavanos and Tefillah. Once we do this, have this level of awareness of the Rabbeinu Shalom and focus, and an approach before the Rabbeinu Shalom that will beseech his compassion, then our tefillahs are likely to be accepted. Shatfila he b'mokam a korban. Tefillah takes the place of a korban. Tachsiv in the Shalom of forums for seder. Uksiv for the avdoi b'cholav avachem. Chiyesh avoidu b'leiv. Chazal say, what avoid is b'leiv? Avoid is with our hands, our feet. What avoid is b'leiv? And the eizo he avoid is she b'leiv. Havayim is a tefillah. It's tefillah. The words in tefillah are an expression of the lev. But the lev is the essence of the tefillah. So, the lev has to be involved in the tefillah. Fully involved. If it stands in as a, for the korban, it has to be comparable to a korban. Be kavona. And be focused. No foreign thought shall enter our minds during the tefillah. In kochim we have all types of machshavas, that if a person brings the korban and he has the wrong intentions, the korban is possible. Varied levels, sometimes totally possible, partially possible. Right? The Mishnah in the beginning is Rochem, articulates both in the first Mishnah as well. Umed, why do we stand by tefillah? Is dum yidavayim lechziv lama yidshars. But a korban, the daddy has to think that he had to stand. No one was allowed to sit in the azar, except the Melech himself. The hashvos haragolim and putting our feet together. This is kikoyanim b'shas avayim. This is reminiscent of the kikoyanim at the time of the avayim. Ukfiyas mokum, and we have to have a fixed place for tefillah. Kamara karbonos. It wasn't random. Each one had its particular place in the Azor, where one had a shechter. Umat and Domov, and where the blood had to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, was also fixed. So similarly, that you have to have kfiyas mokum letfilosim. Tefillah is not a helter-skelter thing. We have to be prepared before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And we have a fixed place. In anything significant in this world that takes place, the where a person stands or sits is not helter-skelter. You come to a meeting of the board of your corporation, the seating is not helter-skelter. There's an exact place where each person sits. The chairman sits at the head, very deep. There's an exact place. Why? Because it's a meeting of significance, not a picnic. At the picnic, you sit wherever you want. But when the matters become significant, there's nothing helter-skelter about them. And similarly, when I come before the Rabbeinu Shalom, I don't, just don't fall in. Here I am, parachute swung in the window, and I'm here. There's a place that I belong. And this is where I speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom every day. So this is how I speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom now too. Kviyas mokom litvilos. Skip one line, which is not relevant at the moment. A person should have, ultimately, even special clothes with which to daven. He gone big day kahuna, just as the kohen. He didn't wear his street clothes. He had a $2,000 suit from Brooks Brothers, but he couldn't do the avodah in it. He had to wear the big day kahuna. Why? Because they were set aside for non-secular purposes to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. So a person should have special begodim with which to daven. Elo, the Torah himself, was a very poor person. She'ein kolodim yochol v'vazvei zalze. Not everyone could afford to have special clothes, they have special coats to daven, special jacket. But he says, at least he should have a pair of pants that's just to use for davening. Why? Because, you know, it works, it gets dirty. It should come properly before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And in the... all of this is the hachana, really, of the machshava, of the state of mind that we have as we approach Tefillah, of its significance. If we emulate the manner of the korban, then it finds favor in the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shemayim. And where does it go? The mokum shar korban oimah. It's received in the same fashion in Shemayim as a korban in the Beis Hamikdash. So ask ourselves, Zachisi, more than 40 years ago, to come to the Mispalo in the Kaisel Marovi. I lived in Eretz Yisrael for a year, more than 40 years ago. And one day it struck me. It's a discuss that I have. That I come whenever I want. And come to the Kaisel HaMarovi to daven, to stand at the, outside the Mokom HaMikdash. And I asked myself this question: what would my grandfather have given to come to me, mispala one mincha in this place and leave and never come back again? What would he have given? So I'll ask the same question again in a different way. If the Rabbeinu Shalom came to us tonight and he said, okay, Rabbi Yisai, Kew Garden Hills, you're invited to the Beis HaMikdash for one day tomorrow. Give us a day to get there, the day after tomorrow, to bring a korban. One day, that's it. The one and only time you're going to have, you have the chance to bring a korban. How significant would it be to us? And the Torah tells us, it's l'mokoyim shahar korban oyla, that the tefillah is received in the same fashion that a korban is received before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And listen what the Torah says. V'hamalach oisa oisa keser l'koinai. And it's as if the malach takes it and makes it a crown for the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're invited to make a crown to the, for the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the opportunity that we have when we are mispalim. And to realize in the kavonas that the Rabbeinu Shalom we address in a very familiar fashion. Atah is very familiar. And yet in every brocha we say Baruch Atah. You can't have a brocha without it. We speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom face to face. directly. And we're given the opportunity in tefillah to make keser l'kuna, a crown for the Rabbeinu Shalom. So if that's what we're doing, then we understand what a Torah wrote, a whole siman, tzadik ches, and machshavta, and the mental preparation that we have to have for tefillah. And as I said, the understanding, when we talk about kavona, we think about perish amilis, that's only step one. But after that is the awareness of Shivisi Hashem Benegdi Samen, of the Rabbeinu Shalom's presence. And everything about me is absolutely manifest before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Every thought is manifest before the Rabbeinu Shalom. An awareness of Shechina, and to be so enraptured by Shechina that I'm unaware of anything else. This is the hachana tefillah. We didn't get to davening yet. This is just the preparation. We're just prepared to daven. So, this is the introduction to the shir of next week. How careful we have to be in the halachas of not doing anything which could disrupt someone else. But this is merely the hachana. This is the preparation for next week's show, the introduction for next week's show. But I promise.